This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Hello everyone and welcome to the award-winning To Hull and Back podcast, proudly sponsored by Old Zoological Bar and Kingfisher Fish and Chips in Hull. I'm your host Nathaniel and tonight I'm joined by Joe and Will to discuss not one, not two, but 3 Hull City draws, and that's why the episode is titled Drawled, or is it Draw Led by the Tigers?
I'm not sure which one to go with that.
Drawled, okay.
Probably drawled because that's where the pun's meant to come in. So it sounds like Maul. You've ruined the title already, and it wasn't a very good title in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than some of the ones we've had recently, like Ramitin and Ass and that sort of thing.
Well, that's now we've been recorded.
Yeah. I wasn't going to say on that episode, but drawled by the Tigers. I mean, I was just saying it before the podcast started. Potentially, we might come to regret these 4 draws in a row with the West Brom game as well. Potentially, if we don't finish in the playoffs. I mean, well, you were saying you wouldn't be that bothered. But what are your general thoughts with this run of form at the moment?
When I say I wouldn't be that bothered, I don't mean that I don't want us to go up. I just mean that I don't think it's the end of the world if we don't go up. It's interesting because the draws have shown vastly different sides to City in terms of performance. You've got the West Brom one and the Leicester one, which we'll get onto in a bit, which are fantastic really good performances. You've got Preston, which is kind of it could be either way. Preston had most of the ball, but then you've got Birmingham, which is a case of really shouldn't be drawing that sort of game and should have won it, should have been out of sight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Harry's commented in there that the Leicester match was brilliant. I think I've just interrupted you there, Joe. What would you say about the recent form?
I was just going to say the West Brom and the Preston ones, teams around us, good points in the grand scheme of things, not gaining ground on us, we're not losing ground to them. The Leicester one, I think, was a superb point. Everyone would have taken it going into the game. A team that's definitely going to go up, top of the league. Super happy with that. And like Lee's just said, brilliant game, really entertaining, end-to-end. One of the best games of football I've watched this season.
Probably the best home game by a mile.
Definitely. And then you've got Birmingham, where we played all right, just couldn't finish it off at one end, and then Allsop was a bit poppadom-wrists at the other.
Hmm. Yeah, I think Allsop's been a bit poppadom wrists, to use your phrase, for probably.
Well, the penalty yesterday. The penalty yesterday put a stronger hand on that.
I didn't realise how close he was to that until I watched it back later on that night.
angle from Vardy.
I was sat right behind it, and I thought he went the right way. I saw him get a hand to it, and I sort of went, oh, it's gone in. Mm-hmm. But that's. I feel like I'm saying this every week with Allsop. There's always, he's definitely won us more points than he's lost us this season. But I feel like every single week there's a talking point about, right, he should do better with that. He should do better with that. The second one, although he gets something on it, it only sort of brushes off his shoulder. There's nothing he can really do. But Vardy's penalty, I think he's got to be stronger. He's got to have stronger hands on that. Should save that for me. And then the Birmingham one, it's right next to him. It's right next to him. And I don't want to, like I say, I don't want to pick on him because he's won us more points than he's lost us this year for me. But part of me wondered, would Ingram save that Jukovic effort? Would Panda save that Jukovic effort?
I mean, at the same time, it's not great defending for Jukovic on the goal. He essentially did the exact same goal against us in the cup. He was allowed to just drift into the middle between the two centre backs and allowed to just head it in. And it's not good defending. He's not just all top on that one. You can't put it all on him.
Mm-hmm. I think the most frustrating thing about that is we conceded the exact same goal to the exact same player against the exact same team in the FA Cup.
And yeah, then it's not even 2 months.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And then we've let him go and do the same thing. Because I think I agree. West Brom just above us, a draw, solid. Preston away just below us, a draw is solid. And then Leicester top of the league with a good performance. Are you happy with it? I mean, all three of them together, you'd like to think, because we're going for the playoffs, you could win one of them, but, not to lose points against them is good. I think I'd be much happier if we just got the 6 points from the four rather than the 4 points, because even though we didn't necessarily have a huge amount of clear-cut chances, the control of the game with Birmingham was just, we were in such good control. And then Rossini said it wasn't complacency, but I think if you're 1-0 up and you're cruising like that, it's a bit of complacency to leave him free and then concede the goal and only draw the game when, I said before, those are the games you need to be winning, and we didn't. And then I think also odd to feel frustrated that we didn't beat Leicester, but we did miss a penalty, probably a dodgy one given against us. And then I thought the defending on the second goal, Vardy's completely free, Jones and Greaves split, and then, pretty simple pass through to him to score. And then Allsop should have saved the penalty, I'd say. I mean, I don't know whether you want to be too critical of not saving a penalty, because those are difficult, but it's just...
The fact he went the right way and got a hand on it, that's the frustrating thing.
I'm frustrated at the moment because it's just so very few games, especially at home this season, where we've not won and you'd be like, well, that's fair enough because the other team are really good. We've always had chances or the control of the game and consistently inconsistent or consistently not quite good enough that we're drawing all these matches at home. I mean, I know we haven't had one until recently, and then we've had the 3 in a row. Hopefully not 4 in a row against Stoke, because I know we had another run like that early in the season. But, the reason why I would be very disappointed if we didn't get into the playoffs, it wouldn't be the end of the world, but I feel like I'd be more disappointed than you would be, because it just seems like we shoot ourselves in the foot every time, rather than fair enough, that was a really good goal we conceded, or fair enough, we didn't play very well. It's the times when we do play well and don't get over the line. That's why it would be frustrating. I mean, we'd still have a good chance to have a go at it next year. But I think Norwich are on the same amount of points as us. I feel like we've sort of let a good lead slip over the last few weeks. And so that's why I'm just a little bit concerned. But nothing really happened in the Preston game. Birmingham, not many clear chances. We just want to talk about Leicester, don't we? So talk about the penalties. The one we got, pretty obvious. Foul on Regan Slater.
It's a foul, definitely. Yep. Having watched it back, though, I do think the foul starts outside the box. So I think we've got a bit lucky with that.
It carries on into the box. And that was Rossini's argument as well.
I feel like I'd have given a free kick if I was a ref on that one, because I feel like the contact is outside the box.
It is worth mentioning the ref was pretty, pretty bad for both sides in that game.
We've never said that all season. I think it's been really great. The refereeing all season has been wonderful. This is definitely the only time we've ever said
that. It's not an issue at any point this season with the refereeing. The EFL officials have been fantastic every week. They haven't been absolutely cack in every single game for at least one of the sides.
And fair play, because I think the refs have a very difficult job. It's just nice to point out when they have done a good job, which is like once.
Never.
Rebecca Welsh.
Well, see, I see more people complain about her, about the refereeing, than I do say good job. So I'm not 100% sure on that one either, to be honest. But well, I think the ones when she's been the ref, I've not watched. I've just listened to them on the radio, so I wouldn't necessarily know. But I'm not convinced by that one either as well. But and then the penalty given against us, very soft.
Before we talk about that, can I just make one more point about the referee? Yeah. I looked at who was refereeing the game for my preview of the game, and I didn't recognise the name. At that point, I think I thought, oh, for Christ's sake, have we got a League One referee refereeing a team in the playoffs versus top of the league? Turned out to be that way. I think Leicester fans playing the victim as if they were the only one screwed over by the referee was quite funny. Their penalty was never a penalty, their first one.
It's very soft.
Very, very soft. And then do I think Seri got away with it? Yes, definitely. But you weren't, Leicester fans, you weren't the only ones who felt a bit aggrieved with the referee.
Do you remember at the start of the season when they said that if players sort of dissented against the referee or got up around the referee, they were going to get booked? Funny that, isn't it? Because Leicester's playing
Hermanson, Vestergaard, Dewsbury Hall, Justin, Wink. I think about six of them shouted something. Interesting to note as well, on the back of the programme, Vout Fayes is called Wesley Fayes.
Yeah.
Well, that's a nice error, isn't it, I guess? Before Leicester got their penalty, he made an actual error on the pitch as well, and a really good pressing, just like we've done at Southampton. So I think because we had the same 11 we did against Southampton. Pressing on, and very nice finish from Carvalho. A few weeks ago, I saw a Norwich fan say that the race of the playoffs sort of depends on, I think if Carvalho gets injured for us, then we're sort of scuppered. I don't think that's strictly true, but recently, lots of goals, Southampton, West Brom, or Sunderland, big game as well, and then this one, big game player, same with Zaruri, lovely finish for that one. We just need to see that consistently against, teams like Birmingham, don't we?
I found the reaction to Carvalho interesting at times, because I think since he's come in, he's been our best attacking player, personally, since he's come in. Philogene's gone a bit quiet. Zarari's had moments, but not really done much. Tufan's looked good when he's come off the bench, but he's only appeared to fits and starts. To say that Amer has been very, very, very good as well, but Carvalho, he doesn't always... it's the same with Amer, actually. Him and Amer, it's their work rate that I really find interesting. They both seem to work really hard, unlike Philogene or Zaruri, who sort of just stand there a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Amer might have been the most exciting, but you can't really say it's been better than Carvalho because he's not played as much. I think Carvalho, slotting all the shots in. Worldie against West Brom just seems really class player.
Against Sunderland.
Yeah, great volley. I mean, definitely no deflection in that one. All our best goals are not deflected this season. I think potentially we want to have him as our top target in the summer.
No, I think, way will that happen, by the way.
No chance.
If he continues playing like he does and scoring
unless
goals.
Unless we've got him on loan again, there's no chance on earth.
Yeah, he'll be on loan to a Premier League club or go somewhere else. Yeah, I think, again, pretty much with a lot of our best players, we might only have them if we go up next season or this season and we're in the Premier League next year.
I find it strange with Philogene and Zaruri, though. Just before Zaruri's goal yesterday, I was slagging him off, saying he's not done a lot and he's not worth playing if it means putting Philogene on the right where he's less effective. Then he went and scored and shut me up. But I think my point still stands. Philogene, since he's been on the right, has been a lot quieter.
At the same time, I would say that even since he's come back, when he's then been on the left, he's also been quiet. I don't think it's just that issue which people seem to focus on. I think he's been quiet in general, regardless wherever side he's been.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was in such good form earlier in the season. And then, of course, he's had his injury, scored a few goals. But I think perhaps, yeah, it's the combination of him being on the unfavoured side and then also longer into the season, probably players have started to, or teams know that he's such a good player, they may be doubling up on him and just they've found him out a little bit, possibly.
You've got to wonder as well, has the speculation of him leaving affected him a little bit? There was the Tottenham rumour in English press, and then there was Turkish press literally pretty much listing every top half Premier League club and Chelsea after him. Then there was speculation about Ajax as well, so you wonder, has that had an impact on him? I mean, we'll never know, but it's if it has, because if you're getting linked with clubs like that, then there's no surprise it's going to play on your mind. For me, anyway.
But he's still got to play, right? Because we've only really got two out-and-out wingers and Zaruri hasn't been consistent. So what's the solution there?
I mean, I've complained for quite a while as well on Philogene. He's so greedy. I've said it on here quite a few times now. He needs to pass the ball every now and then, especially now we've got the attack we currently have. He's just like the Birmingham game had a prime example of it when he got through one-on-one with a keeper and decided to cut back on his man and go for like cut inside and go for a shot, and he lost it and he fell to Carvalho. But
I've been just fuming about that ever since it happened.
Ridiculous. When every time he gets in a position, he just refuses to have a go. He wants to make it a spectacular goal.
When he won that ball off Ethan Laird on the edge of the penalty area, he should have just hit it. Power, placement, whatever. Either side of John Ruddy, because of the close range, if you hit it right, it goes in. But instead he cut back, then tried to ball roll a couple of defenders. Then when he's got five in front of him, he tries to put it straight through the middle of all of them. That's not going to work. He needs to... he's a phenomenal player. Of course he is. And I hope that the sort of flair he's got never gets coached out of him. But sometimes he's just got to make the decision of, right, there's an easier thing to do here. Just
there are other
it.
Players available, Jaden. You don't have to do it all yourself.
Mm. Well, yeah, we've got Zaruri, Carvalho, Amir, Tufan, all these other attacking talents that are equally as good as him, really. Of course, the last goal he scored was the goal at Rotherham, the Rabona. Has that just got to his head a little bit, do you think?
Tried it again against Birmingham. What was the point?
I think that was just a cross, though, that one. That was actually a cross. Actually, the Rabona says it all as well, because in that he could have squared it to Ohio and he didn't, and he cut onto the defender again. That says it all. He just wants to... I don't get his mentality of not wanting to pass the ball when there's clear options available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's finding that balance, because I think, Joe, you're quite right. You don't want to coach that out of him, because he's a great player and they come along extremely rarely, even if, you know, we had Bowen and Lewis Potter, great wingers, but they didn't have any sort of, they didn't play the same way Philogene does, and it's so exciting to play. But I think we probably would have been having this conversation a few weeks ago, especially if he hadn't scored from the Rabona. and then we hadn't beaten Rotherham, then yeah, I think it's just coaching, and hopefully 3 weeks will go by until our next play, and hopefully Rossini can get that ruthlessness into the team, because I think he'll probably show them the positive performance against Leicester. Like, play like this, we can win. We just need to do it against teams like Birmingham and Stoke the next match. Better.
I mean,
yeah,
our any ruthlessness we had kind of disappeared with Delap. We've not been the same since Delap got injured.
Mm-hmm.
He's so obviously the missing piece.
Well, that's what I was about to get onto.
It's unreal how much we're missing.
Hopefully, though, we've got.
We need a striker, don't we?
Hopefully, though, we can get Liam Delap back fit in April at some point. He's had his, what, he's nearly at 3 months, there or thereabouts. He might be, he's a bit under it, but I know what I want to say, but I can't verbalise it, kind of thing.
It's not that we need a striker in the side, because you look at the games against Southampton and against Leicester that show that we can be good attacking without having a striker. It's that we need someone that has his presence and combined presence and pace. That's the thing. We need someone up front who's both strong and can turn and have pace on the ball, which was always his main party piece, so to speak, whenever he got the ball.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need.
Sharp's not got the pace. Ohio has got the pace, I'm not sure if he's got much else.
We don't know what he's got.
Yeah, he's not really had a chance, has he?
I mean, Liam's not got the fitness.
Yeah, Connolly must be chomping at the bit, says Liam. 3 weeks until the next game. I know he's injured a lot, but I think when Connolly's fit, he's a very good player. He's still our joint top scorer. I'd have him in, honestly, especially against teams like Stoke. I think having no strikers when you're playing Southampton, Leicester, you're trying to press.
Well, but when we last played Stoke, we had a time against them as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Connolly could be the sort of player we need against Stoke when we've got the ball and you're not trying to press as much and it's a sort of different type of game. Lee says we played without a striker towards the back end of last season when we had no fit strikers and we struggled then. Probably doing a little bit better, but yeah.
We're doing better, I think, because there was the better players and the tactics are more improved at this point, more involved.
We do need a lap. The only concern is that if he comes back in and he's not fully fit, it's not going to be worth having him. Or if he gets injured again, or something.
I get the feeling that him getting injured might have. It's going to sound weird. This, I think, it might have helped City's chances in getting him again next season. Because
I see what you're saying.
Because had he not got injured and carried on as he was and had a good season and got plenty of goals, it's likely Man City would have wanted him to be at a lower Premier League side or just Chelsea in general. Because he's got injured and it's kind of stuttered him a bit, it might help City's case saying he's done so well here, let him continue his time here for another season. And I think City will go for that. And I think it's probably more likely that he'll be in this next season because of his injury than if he'd not been injured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, depends how he does when he comes back as well. Harry's asked, would we be in a better position in the table at the moment if we'd started the season with our current squad?
I'd say yes. Probably.
Well, Zaruri is better than Lekilo. Zaruri is definitely better than Lekilo. Carvalho is better than Twine. Giles is better than Vinagre.
Yeah, so straight away there's three players.
That's three players you definitely have in, and a lot of Championship clubs would have those three players if they could. And many Championship players would say no to Lekilo and Twine and Vinagre, possibly, maybe a significant portion, but I know Rotherham would take anyone. Harry Warding, don't see Tyler Morton getting it back into the team after Slater's performance yesterday.
No, do I.
Slater's very good, but
Slater was
the best player on the pitch, I thought, against Leicester. He was absolutely superb in that midfield.
First half, when he shoved Kieran Dewsbury-Hall. Mwah.
His run for the penalty was fantastic as well.
Brilliant run.
He was superb in that midfield all game. And I think it was nice because Morton's not looked like he's been injured. He's taken a couple of knocks. He's not looked the same as he had been prior to his like cut the last few games. But Slater's, when he's come on, he's sort of excelled in that role the last couple of games, particularly yesterday. He was superb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Liam's saying, we have all the ingredients for a perfect team. We just need some tweaking. Almost there, I think, potentially. But
pretty much, that's what Rossini said as well. They're about, to quote him in the press conference post-match, he says, we're about they just need an extra 2 or 3%, you know, level increase. And they're probably there. You can see everything's there. It'd be nice if, like, you look at, we played Rotherham and it was a close game and we only won 2-1. And then you look at the teams around us, they beat them 5-0. Like, Norwich beat them 5-0. Coventry beat them, hammered them. We need to hammer someone. We need that confidence in the players to hammer someone to show that they can do it. They should have really done it against Southampton that first half. They should have been out of sight.
Yeah. Just could have had 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And then finally one of my predictions would have been right. But wasn't to be.
Can I just make a point as well about substitutions, talking about you know, maybe Slater coming out Morton in the future and stuff like that. I think that's the first game since we played Leicester on the opening day of the 16-17 Premier League season that we didn't make any substitutes in the game.
And the reason for that week was we didn't have any subs, pretty much.
That was because we had Sean Maloney.
Yeah, respect Sean Maloney.
Fresh out of the academy.
I don't want with Sean Maloney. I like Sean Maloney.
I thought Sean Maloney was a really good player for us.
He scored off the bench the next match, didn't he, actually?
Swansea.
The no subs thing was interesting because I know a lot of people were like, why didn't we make any subs? And I think it was one of those games where it was so tight, I felt that any change might have disrupted the momentum. And if you look at it, I mean, Leicester only made 2 subs and one of them was at half-time. So they didn't make any changes either.
And you look at who we had on the bench, I think Connolly would have been wasted if he was brought on up front. He'd have been swamped by the sheer height of Vestergaard. Toufan was probably the only one who could have made...
That would have been maybe the only change I'd have made at any point. But again, I didn't know who I would take him off for. I don't think anyone... Because energy-wise, the team still looked fine after 90 minutes, which was interesting because normally... I think that's because they had a lot more of the ball in the second half than they did in the...
Yeah, I'm looking at the bench now. McLaughlin, no. Toufan, maybe. Traore, based on when he got brought on against Southampton, no.
We needed Seri and Slater in that midfield, so the central midfield had to stay the same pretty much all game. They were too good.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club. Because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've said it in the first half. Don't take Seri off.
The only ones I could think of that I could have made with Toufan on and maybe Sharp on, that would have been it.
Sharp as a maybe is very generous.
Yeah. I think between the two strikers we've got fit at the moment, between Sharp and Ohio, and they're both kind of one's not there yet, and one is definitely past it. I think I'd still rather have Ohio just because of the physical presence he has. But
It'd be useful if he could actually control the ball. That would help.
But then Sharp can't run to get to it. So it's... neither's great, really. Yeah. I agree, though. Keep Seri on because we lost a bit of control. I think Rossini has probably quite often brought Seri off 60th, 70th, 80th minute and then gone for it with Slater on. But I think Birmingham probably could have kept him on. Maybe just ground out a 1-0. But yeah. I feel like it's been 28 minutes and we've not mentioned, even after complaining about the referees, we need to mention what happened on Tuesday night with our goal. Dreadful, disgusting, disgraceful.
There was nothing wrong
punch into the goal from Tufan.
I love that there was nothing wrong. The goal was given. It can't have been handball.
The referee not seeing it, okay, I can sort of understand that with all the
body. The linesman not seeing it.
But the linesman. Yeah. The linesman not seeing it. We need to have some words.
I mean, watching it, it happens really quickly and you might not have the best angle, but the reverse angle from the north stand.
The incident happened when in the press box, everyone was like, did he handle that?
I thought, sat in the south stand, I thought Greaves had just scored it because I was doing a piece to camera at the time as the corner went in. And then I looked up, saw Greaves head it, and then celebrated. Yes, Greaves has scored. He's on a bit of a roll at the minute. Hang on, wait. Dan Briggs has said it's Tufan. All right. Nice one, Ozan.
Tufan.
Ozan Tufan.
Yes. Yeah. So, to be fair, with no matter how much we can complain about the Leicester penalty, even though it doesn't work
that's what I was saying earlier on the referees. It's like for one team, it's always bad. It doesn't mean it's always us. Yeah. It's just with every game, the referees have a shocker for one of the two sides.
Yeah. It balanced out, didn't it? But you'd rather they just got the one wrong rather than just another one wrong.
I'd rather them get the one wrong, even if we benefit from them to a point.
Yeah. But
I think you said a lot though about the Birmingham game that our only effort that went in was a handball.
Yeah.
And you said a lot about our lack of finishing.
And deliberate. I'd just like to make that absolutely clear. Really disgusting.
Nathaniel.
Breaking of the rules. Happy we scored from it, but you know, sometimes
it was no Paul McShane versus Nottingham Forest. That's the pinnacle.
It was no hand of God either, but it was certainly hand of...
I gave you the hand of God just then.
A lower deity, perhaps. Yeah. Certainly.
Paul McShane scoring with his hand to beat Nottingham Forest will always be the greatest. Maradona can't even compare.
I'm not sure about that. Don't know about that. Okay. World Cup quarterfinal, you know.
I'd still back Paul McShane.
Yeah. Paul McShane with an arm drum Maradona.
Well, true, but not if Maradona used his arms like he did.
Well, yeah, Peter Shilton could have used his arms as well, but he just was too busy focused about the little blow.
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
McShane would have headed Maradona into next week.
Yes, I would like to see that.
See Paul McShane headbutt a dead man. That's a very unusual.
Yeah, I was just thinking, isn't Maradona dead? But I'd said it already. So, well, 7th, 58 points, joint on points with Norwich in 6th, 5 points behind West Brom now in 5th after they beat Huddersfield. I think 5th, probably just about out of reach. I think West Brom home form, they'll get enough points to finish above us now.
Yeah, West Brom are going to be in the playoffs. If it's 5th or 6th, they're going to be in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. I think it's probably us, Norwich or Coventry. I think
Preston have still got a chance. Their issue is their goal difference. So they have to do it outright on points rather than levelling with someone because their goal difference is so far off.
Preston will think they're in the hunt, and they are, but I think over the course of the season, I'm not sure Preston have a good enough squad. I think it'll be us or Coventry or Norwich. Basically, whether it's us or Coventry, probably comes down to the match we play against them, which is the third or fourth last game of the season.
It is now, yeah. It wasn't meant to be next week, wasn't it? But yeah. FA Cup.
So we've got nine left, nine cup finals. Probably got a tougher run than Norwich. Yes or no, if you had to bet, going to get an answer off you. Sixth or not?
You see, we have a tougher run than Norwich, but they've still got to play Leicester and Ipswich as well.
They do. I think
Leeds and Ipswich, so it's...
Yeah.
It's not the same, really.
They've got to play more of the bottom of the table, but it's still... The way that the Championship is, let's be honest, it doesn't really matter. The way the Championship is, any team can beat anyone. There's no real... True.
The only team not fighting for anything now is Rotherham, because they're 19 points adrift of the team above them.
I think there's a couple of teams in the middle, like Middlesbrough now and Sunderland and Watford are now in a no man's land.
We've got to play Watford and Middlesbrough and Plymouth, so fingers crossed for those that they're on the beach.
Interesting, we've got Ipswich on the second to last day. That's when we played was the penultimate game at our place. And obviously, if it continues as it is, that could be deciding if they're going up or not when it comes to that game.
But they could bottle it on the big day.
Or it could be deciding whether we play them in the playoffs or not.
Yeah,
exactly. That's exactly it. That if the league carries on as it is, that could be a massive game in terms of for both sides. Mm-hmm. And if Plymouth are on the edge of the play, we're playing them on the final day. The relegation battle continues as it is. They might be still in it because the bottom of the table's unreal. It's better than the top of the table, I think. To be honest, to look at it's.
Yeah, Stoke started yesterday in the bottom three, ended up 19th. But they've still not made any real headway between them and the teams that have put them in there. So it's the tightest I've ever seen the bottom part of the table for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with what Enship said here. Feeling it's going to go to the last day of the season. Regardless of whether we get there or not, I reckon we have a chance that...
Playoffs normally do, to be fair. It's rare that they don't go to the last day of the season.
Yeah. We'll be there or thereabouts with two or three games to go. And then from there, you're just hoping, you know, have that last push and grind out 3-1-0s. That's basically what you're hoping for. But, we'll probably be a few points off it next time we play a match. Going to become a Stoke fan because they're playing Norwich, and then hopefully we destroy Norwich, destroy Stoke when we play them just a few days later. So yeah, it'll be very tight, but it still has been a successful season. I think even if we sort of pour until the end of the year, and next year we'll still have another opportunity to do it. It's just, I feel like, because as we've said, we've got all those ingredients. We just need a little bit more percentage, 2 or 3 more percent, and then we'd be there. But 4 games in a row without a win, just, it worries me, you know, that's just where I am at the moment.
So you're saying 4 games in a row without a win, it's also 7 games without, is it one loss in 7 now, or is it unbeaten in 7?
Well, it's unbeaten in 7. One lost in...
So you can look at it 2 different ways there.
One lost in 9, one lost in 10, something like that.
You can look at it as we have 1 in 4, but we've also not lost either. No one, not many are beating us either.
But we didn't lose many games in the season last year, and we finished 15th because of the draws. That's what killed us.
Where did he come in, though? Where were we when he came?
True, but it was the draws that was the problem last year, and...
But we were never in a playoff run. We were never looking at a playoff run last year either.
Yeah, I mean, before this run,
we were looking at survival when he came in.
Yeah, before this run of 4 draws, we hadn't had one since the 25th of November. So maybe it's unfair to say that's what's going to kill us. But 1 loss in 10 is a very good run. So maybe we're in better form over that longer period than it feels, because it's been a little while since a win now. But 3 weeks off without a match. We're going off to Turkey to have some, rest.
Warm weather training.
hopefully
they'll probably be behind the closed doors friendly at some point.
Yeah, definitely, I'd say. Do you think that's going to help us or hinder us? Because we want a bit of time to get players back, but we also want a bit of momentum going into the last run of the season.
Well, if we won like the last four or won the last couple, yeah, then you could argue the momentum thing. But I think because we drew them, there's not like loads of momentum going into it, and we'll know when we get back what we need to do. And at least it's good for the fitness point of view, because you can make the argument that, oh, the match fitness might go down. But at this point in the stage, at this stage in the season, the players that have match fitness, why are they playing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could only be a positive, really. They go away, they've got no distractions. Liam Delap's abroad at the minute, so we might maybe see
him. He's currently in Portugal and going rehab. He might join the team in Turkey. It depends how his rehab's going.
Is that official, Will?
Yes.
From the gaffer himself.
I think he himself said that he's currently in Portugal doing rehab. They're going to hope he comes along, but obviously it depends how what's best for him, whether to stay with the rehab or. Well, obviously you want him to whatever's best for him, so he gets back quicker. So if that doesn't mean going back to Turkey, that's fine. But hopefully, whatever he does, he's back as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we might just need a bit of time to recharge, then go into the last stretch of the season. I mean, 9 weeks or 9 games is probably a bit long to have no rests, but 3 weeks, hopefully Connolly's back fit, Delap's a bit closer, and just Rossini, show him the performance against Leicester. Do this every game, because you don't want to regret it at the end of the season looking at games like Birmingham. So, fingers crossed, and we've certainly got the team to be able to do it, so maybe we'll just find a new way to get the goals flowing with a 3 week break.
If there's anyone lacking fitness as well, there's three under 21s games that they can chuck them in. There's one while they're away in Turkey, which they obviously can't do, but there's one on Friday this week, there's one on the Tuesday before the Stoke game. So if anyone's drastically lacking fitness, they can chuck them in either of those two.
Yeah, they can, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Connolly played in the under-21s, didn't he? And of course, he didn't play against Leicester.
Interesting one, that, because Rossini was really, really... He said he was happy with his performance and that kind of thing, but people who I know at Ferriby said he was dire and didn't really look interested, but Rossini said his running and all that kind of thing were exactly where they want him to be. So he was there purely
for a fitness thing, wasn't it, really? It wasn't necessarily about performance, it was to make sure his fitness was getting better, I think.
Yeah. Good point.
Because let's be honest, at the moment, the under 21s results wise, less that can be said about that the better.
Yeah, to be fair, they've won two of their last three.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Bora scored in both of those.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've got two home games while there's no first team either, both on a Tuesday. Tuesday the 19th against Birmingham, Tuesday the 26th against Colchester, both 7 o'clock kickoffs at Ferriby, if anyone listening wants some football to watch, wants some Hull City to watch.
With City not playing, it's a good shout.
Yeah, quite right. Dokan Cynic scored today. Still technically a Hull City player.
Bottom of the barrel a bit here.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'll say that Birmingham's under 21s, who we play a week on Tuesday, have Seyi Olafinjana's son playing for them.
And I'll see, we really are scraping the barrel, but that's cool.
So I hope his dad's there. That would be very cool.
An autograph. Well, we're not playing for 3 weeks, so I'm not really going to do the Stoke combined lineup.
No, we'll do an episode closer to the day, I think, for that particular.
Yeah, they're not a good team, so it would mostly be home players anyway.
When we played them at their place earlier in the season, it was a comfortable victory for City, really, 3-1.
Comfortable.
Could have been more.
Typical away performance at home. I'm scared it's going to be 5 draws in a row. But I mean, I'll throw in my prediction now at 6-0, you know, because would have unlocked the attacking prowess of the team. So hopefully. But yeah, it's too long away to predict, really. So I'm going to have to find something else to do and talk about for 3 weeks. It's a bit of a shame, isn't it?
How many goals Jordan Henderson's going to score for England?
Oh, yes. So, Will, what have you got for your description tonight?
So it's finally, we finally broken 100 days until the Euros.
Yeah.
Until we can watch John Henderson and Calvin Phillips ruin England's midfield.
And Mount.
I was talking to...
I think even Mason Mount might be too far beyond Southgate now.
I was talking to one of my friends about this, and we were doing like England teams for the Euros and stuff like that. So he gave me his idea, and I said, in all seriousness, Tomori should probably be starting. Whatever.
Like you said,
get ready for Hendo, Phillips, Sterling, and Mount starting the first group game. Well,
Sterling's been zoned out by Southgate, so that's not happening.
That's strange, isn't it? Because you look at Henderson and Maguire and these sort of players that have had poor seasons. And
well, you're on about Henderson has single-handedly ended
all injustice in Saudi Arabia in the space of 6 months.
Yeah, and we have him to thank
for
that.
How many years did our army spend in that area in the Middle East? And then he's got over there, and in 6 months he's sorted a lot.
Wonderful. Was it even 6 months? It might have been like 4 or 5 months, mightn't it? Or since he started his debut, perhaps. Yeah.
Maybe he should have gone to Dynamo Kiev.
I think maybe Shakhtar Donetsk would have been a bit closer to the front line.
But anyway, Henderson should be nowhere near it. But yeah, tomorrow should be it. As former City lad, tomorrow should absolutely be in the England squad.
Yeah,
it's mental to think in hindsight that man got into the because he was decent. He was all right when he was at City. He wasn't amazing, but he was decent, solid.
You could tell he was a player.
I would never have thought he'd be an England player though.
Mm-hmm. I think me more than most, I'm quite a strong Southgate supporter, and that I even try and like. I'm not happy with Henderson playing anymore. Certainly not. I think if Sterling was to play, I could justify that, maybe not to anyone else but to myself, but Henderson or Phillips, no, I couldn't. It's just because
West Ham
at international level you need because you don't have the training time, you need players you can trust who have done it before, and so Sterling has and blah blah blah, but that only goes to a certain degree, doesn't it? So do we want to do our starting 11s? We've got nothing else to talk about. Or we should just do talk about England at the international break when it's actually happening.
I think maybe talk about it. Do it like an extra episode during the international break.
Yeah. To just Wembley for like a week when we're playing Brazil and Belgium and back. Bonus episode.
Yeah, why not?
Good title.
I mean, I think we called it to Wembley back when it was the Euros, to be fair, Nathaniel.
Yeah, but we're not just... It's... Yeah, I guess we could. Yeah.
I guess. Anyway, we'll talk about
England closer to those friendlies, really.
We're going to win it. It's coming home.
Go on, Joe. You're going to say something before we really interrupted you.
I'm not really sure what to say to it's coming home, to be honest. I was just going to say I won't be watching the Belgium game because I want to see everybody listening, watching at Ferriby. So that'll be a better game anyway, because who cares about friendlies? And yes, it's coming home. I'd love it too, but...
Obviously it is.
Yeah, I don't really know what to say.
I would argue it's the best chance they've got.
Yeah. Kane in really, really good form. Bellingham playing the best football of his life.
You could have just said Jude Bellingham and you don't have to say anything else.
Yeah.
I think if we get the most out of Bellingham, then I think we're laughing because we've got
France is the only team I'm genuinely worried about.
I was just going to say that I think France are.
We'll talk about this properly on an actual England. Like we'll do a special England episode.
Yeah.
While there's nothing else to talk about because City are away for 3 weeks and it's going to be torture.
Yeah.
It is.
Certainly. Change the colour of that background, Will.
To just white and red, I guess. Yeah.
White and red, indeed.
Mm. So, Joe, excellent contributions as always. Will.
Thank you, Nathaniel. You too.
Thank you, Will. You've been wonderful.
Not excellent. Interesting.
What's wrong with... I'd say excellent to wonderful. Like, you're just picking hairs.
My contributions weren't actually rated there. It's just me in general. I'll take it.
Yeah. 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 Of course. Always wonderful. And good contributions from Joe. Yeah. I think I've been average today. I've done better. I've certainly done better.
You've certainly done worse as well.
I've certainly done worse. There's still time for me to ruin it. We've probably got about a minute left. So, go on. Go on, Joe. Go on.
Can I do a bit? Obviously, I'm going to be... I will say I had a really good conversation with Jim.
Our resident academy expert. Yeah.
I had a really good conversation with Jim last night, and I'm obviously not going to air all of that out of respect, because I've got a lot of respect for Jim. He's a really good lad, and he's got a lot of respect for me as well. But I'll just say I find it very odd.
For audio listeners, that's
was interesting.
Jim Sims, City striker who's left.
For Jim, his record last season, he had nearly 20 goals. And he leaves the club having 17 goals and 11 assists in 35 games for the 21s. Had he not had an injury at the same time as Oscar Tete and Conley last season, he would have had a chance in the first team. And I think it would be very... I think that's beyond all doubt. And I think things would be very, very different now. It's a real shame for the lad. I hope everything works out for him because he's got a brilliant work ethic. And he gave his all every single time he stepped on the pitch wearing the black and amber. And I wish him the best because, like I say, I couldn't speak more highly of him as a player because I have, in 21's football, I haven't seen, for opposition or for City, a better striker of the ball in the box than Jim Sims. And he's a brilliant, brilliant lad as well, so I wish him all the best.
Well said. Well said. And on that bombshell, thank you for all your abusive comments this week, guys. And we'll be back whenever we're back. I guess we're going to do one next week, but we won't have a damn thing to talk about. So maybe we'll talk about...
We'll do one at some point during the next 3 weeks anyway.
Must do. Must do. All right. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.